This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Students across Illinois are headed back to school this month, and some of our youngest fellow Illinoisans are starting school for the first time. As we've talked about on the show before, Illinois government has added many requirements for public schools in the state in the past few years. LGBT history, Asian American history, half an hour of play for kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. The list goes on. And now, in the coming years, public school districts across the state will be required to offer full-day kindergarten. That's under a law that Governor J.B. Pritzker signed earlier this month. Districts are already required to offer half-day kindergarten, and the option will still be available for parents and children who want it. And in fact, we found a document on the State Board of Education website. Now, it is 8 years old, but it says that at that time, 79% of kindergartners in Illinois were already going full-time. But we don't know if that number has changed since then. Advocates of this full-day kindergarten say it would boost student achievement both in the short term and long term, and research has also found social and emotional benefits. But there are concerns, too, especially from school districts that fear the change could take up already limited resources as the state's teacher shortage continues. Here to talk about all of this is Dr. Amanda Quisenberry, who's a professor at Illinois State University in the School of Teaching and Learning. Her focuses include young children's social and emotional development and early childhood policy. Dr. Quisenberry, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Emily Warnicke. She is Chief of Staff for the Illinois Association of School Administrators and Deputy Director of Governmental Relations with the Illinois Association of School Business Officials. Emily, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And finally, Jill Springer is District Elementary Literacy Specialist for Community Unit School District 428 in DeKalb, which already offers full-day kindergarten. Jill, thank you for being here today as well.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Listeners, we want to hear what you think about all-day kindergarten. 800-222-9455 is the number. Do you have children or know children who've gone through full-day kindergarten? And what difference do you think it made for them? And what do you think of this shift to full-day kindergarten across the state? Again, the number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. Quisenberry, let's start with you. And I just want to look at the big picture here. How have you seen, you know, conversations about full-day kindergarten evolve over the years you've been working on this area?
Absolutely. I think that it's become quite common for districts to have full-day kindergarten. I would always focus on thinking that more is not always better. We want to think about the quality of experiences for young children. And so as I started thinking about this and reading the law, to me, the most important line in the law is that the full-day kindergarten should be developmentally appropriate and provide opportunities for play-based learning. So I think we've pendulum swung back and forth a lot in terms of how we focus on academic rigor in kindergarten, but that isn't always necessarily a good thing for young children's development.
Emily Warnicke with the Illinois Association of School Administrators, I want to bring you in now. What are some of the things that might keep or be keeping school districts from already having adopted full-day kindergarten?
Sure. Thank you for that question. Certainly echo everything that was already stated. Many of our members that we heard from during the process of this bill's going through the General Assembly was that the vast majority of the ones that do not offer it currently want to be able to offer full-day kindergarten, but there are barriers that exist in within their school districts locally that have prevented them from being able to do it. And the one that was most you know, cited was space. You know, many of them indicated that their boards of education had locally gone through an analysis of their existing space, their existing fund balances, the capacity for additional debt to be incurred to sell bonds, to do construction for new spaces. And there were just limited resources locally to provide that option for them to offer full day. And I would agree with what was said earlier, that the vast majority of districts in the state are already offering it. And every year there are more that are able to come up with the resources locally, do the construction to increase the spaces. But there are still some that, for whatever reasons that exist locally, have a barrier to being able to provide the space that would be necessary to house additional students.
Now, Emily, this may be outside your area of expertise, but do you know how do private schools look in this regard, or maybe whether this law even, I mean, the law I don't think applies to them?
It does not apply to them, and I couldn't speak to how private schools are currently operated. That was one of the questions, actually, for public schools that we had during this process, was how many districts are we talking about? How many children currently do not have access to full day kindergarten? And there were a lot of different numbers thrown around, and we never really received a quantifiable data set to determine that. And the bill does require a task force to kind of go through all of that and do an analysis and determine how many districts offer it, how many children are we talking about here, and you know, what kind of resources will be needed. So we will have that data after the task force completes its work. So we're excited about that. But I do not believe that it will do a similar analysis for private schools.
I'm glad to hear you say there's a lack of data here, because our team was a little frustrated this morning. We were also trying to figure out what schools already offer it in Illinois. And we also could not find good data on that. So we look forward to the work of the report, I guess. Jill Springer, let me bring you into the conversation now. So tell us what DeKalb's district has been doing as far as full-day kindergarten.
So we came to full-day kindergarten over 10 years ago, and it was a slow transition. We did offer, of course, like most other school districts, half-time kindergarten, and then it became a choice for parents to have half-day or full-day. As more and more parents requested full-day, and as we saw the benefits of full-day kindergarten, then we transitioned totally away from the half-day kindergarten. Just this year, we are implementing a framework that really advocates for play in our classrooms. So we've been working with a professor of early childhood learning, and she has helped us create a framework that really centers play and developmentally appropriate education for our students.
All right, Dr. Quisenberry, so one of the reasons, and I mentioned this at the start, what some of the research around this has found is that full-day kindergarten boosts student achievement. There are these social and emotional benefits and so on. What does that actually mean in practice, in the real world? How would we see that as a child is advancing through the school system?
Right, and so I think that there has definitely been research done that shows that children who participate in full day kindergarten have gains in the area of literacy, math, social and emotional development. And so I think that as children move throughout their schooling, having a stronger foundation in those areas only benefits them in being able to grow from that strong foundation as they progress through their schooling and their education. I will say that I think for a lot of listeners, possibly when they think about kindergarten, they think of maybe how it was when they were in kindergarten, which even for me looks a lot different than it does now. And so I think that keeping in mind what a full day might look like, because some people might hear that and think, well, how could that be possible? Because, you know, we had nap time and play time, and we may still have some of those things, but I think that kindergarten certainly has changed over time. But it really does provide a firm foundation for children's schooling and really for life as they develop those skills needed to be successful in school and in life.
Can we flesh that out a little more? So yes, I will admit my kindergarten experience was in the early 1980s. What sort of differences would we see in a classroom today?
Well, today their children in kindergarten are really a part of the school. I too was in kindergarten in the early 80s, and believe it or not, I was actually in a full day kindergarten back in the early 80s. We just alternated days, but we were very separated from the rest of the school. And so kindergarten today is part of everyday activities. They take part in specials, which are like the art, the music, everything that happens in the school. There's more extended time for literacy activities and math. There are still some full day programs who offer rest time in the afternoon, but not nearly as many as they used to. More time is hopefully spent on extended time for conversations and investigations, and really providing children the opportunity to make choices and learn how to make good choices, and develop those social and emotional skills, and really just learning to be a part of a group. Another big difference is that for most children, kindergarten isn't the entry point anymore. Over 50% of children between the ages of 3 and 5 in Illinois attend some form of preschool. So it's a little bit different now, but different isn't always bad.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a new law that will, over the coming years, require full-day kindergarten as an option for every school or every family, I guess. Every school district will be required, public school district will be required to offer full-day kindergarten across Illinois. Families can still opt for half-day if they choose. We want to hear what you think about this. Maybe you went through kindergarten, as I did many years ago. Maybe you have kids or even grandkids who are going through it now. What are you seeing? Have you seen full-day kindergarten make a difference for the young people in your life? 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. We're talking about all of this with Dr. Amanda Quisenberry, who's a professor in the School of Teaching and Learning at Illinois State University, and Jill Springer, who's a district elementary literacy specialist at Community Unit School District 428 in DeKalb, and Emily Wernicke, chief of staff at the Illinois Association of School Administrators. Jill Springer, let me ask you about, so we talked about, you know, what the benefits are in theory, in concept. How have you seen improvements in the DeKalb district in terms of student performance since adopting full-day kindergarten?
Well, yes, and I'd like to key in specifically on what we've seen with play-based learning. We did have 25 early adopters last year who, let's say, participated in the rollout and implementation and process of improvement of the framework that we had developed for play-based learning before we took it district-wide this fall. And what we see with full-day kindergarten in general and with opportunities to play is that students have much more opportunity to build relationships, as other people have alluded to, and understand just how to do school. When we talk about building those relationships in play-based learning, Dr. Quisenberry talked about the element of choice. And so we're giving students lots of choice to expand their creativity on their own terms around content-based provocations that we put into play centers. And they have opportunities to collaborate and learn how to give and take with other students, how to build empathy. So when we talk about those social emotional standards, we explicitly teach them, you know, as you're playing, please recognize the different emotions that your playmates have and look at things from their perspectives. And so just even the talk that they have in play-based centers sets them up for more success in reading and writing and in all of their academic areas.
You know, and Jill, maybe you can say a little more about, for listeners who may not be familiar with play-based learning. I mean, it almost sounds a little Montessorian to me, and maybe that's a whole nother show and another conversation. We don't have to go down that road, but are we talking about, you know, using plastic money to talk about addition or beads or something like that? Or what does this look like in practice as compared to what it would have been in the past? I mean, I can't imagine kindergartners were being, you know, made to drill addition worksheets or anything like that necessarily.
So for a long time, kindergarten has become, you mentioned that when you were in kindergarten, you took a nap and you had a lot of play time with blocks and other types of toys. And We saw a transition from time for nap and time for toys to more academic-based programs where students were expected to sit in their seats at their little desks or tables for a very long time. And for a long time, practitioners like myself and other kindergarten classroom teachers felt that it was not natural, and it's not natural. Developmentally appropriate education allows students to play. Play is the work of the child, right? And we can very much teach academics through play. So in our framework in D428, our play-based centers are set up so that we can build whatever content, either social studies, literacy, science content, into the play-based centers. So for instance, if our students are learning about animal habitats, we might hang pictures of animal habitats in their construction center where they have blocks and other building materials. And we might have the vocabulary that we're explicitly teaching about animal habitats in that center. And we would ask our students, you know, today or this week, your job is to build an animal habitat from your construction materials. We put up sentence frames for them and the vocabulary, like I mentioned before, and we ask them to talk to their playmates about what they're building and use that scientific language or that vocabulary.
Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break on our program. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about the coming of all-day kindergarten to Illinois. Actually, the majority of school districts, or I should say at least what we know is the majority of school children some years ago, according to a state report, were already going to all-day kindergarten. But we don't know if that number might have changed since then, and a new law says that every school district in Illinois, every public school district, is going to have to offer all-day kindergarten in the coming years. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today on the 21st show. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a new law that will require school districts across Illinois to offer full-day kindergarten in the coming years. Many of them already do, and indeed there's a lot we know about the potential benefits of full-day kindergarten, but there are some concerns as well, namely questions of resources, classroom space, as we heard earlier from some school districts about having to make this change. We're talking about this with Dr. Amanda Quisenberry, who's a professor at Illinois State University in the School of Teaching and Learning. Also, Jill Springer, District Elementary Literacy Specialist for Community Unit School District 428 in DeKalb, which already offers full-day kindergarten. And Emily Warnicki, Chief of Staff for the Illinois Association of School Administrators and Deputy Director of Governmental Relations with the Illinois Association of School Business Officials. 800-222-9455 to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Emily, one of the things we mentioned earlier that this law does is create a task force to look at where things stand in Illinois as far as full-day kindergarten goes. What are the things we don't know right now?
Well, first and foremost, we really don't know how many districts do or do not offer full-day kindergarten. When we were going through this process with the General Assembly the last spring, there were a lot of questions, a lot of different numbers thrown around about how many districts we're really talking about here. I know one of the examples was 700 out of 852 districts. I see that in the chat as well. But 852 districts is every single district in the state, and many of them are high school districts. So they obviously wouldn't have kindergarten programs. So again, it's really unclear about how many districts we're specifically talking about here. The next thing is, how many children are we talking about here? Because even if a district is able to offer some full day, it may not be able to offer full day for every single child within that district because of the space limitations that we discussed earlier. So again, a district might be considered offering full day, but it doesn't really offer full day for every single child because of the space limitations that exist. So getting data on the specific number of students who are not able to access full day kindergarten right now is also critically important to this work. And that will be part of the task force process as well. There will also be space utilization analysis that will be conducted. And then obviously there's a cost. There would be a significant cost associated with doing construction to add classroom spaces is the obvious one. But when you are talking about adding potentially hundreds of new students all day, you're also potentially looking at needing to increase the space of common spaces, cafeterias, gyms, et cetera. And construction costs are fairly high at the moment. And we did hear from several districts during this process that they had already gone to their voters through a referendum process to try to get the bonding capacity to bond for millions of dollars that would be required to implement something like full day kindergarten. And those efforts were not supported by the community members, which is also a serious reality as we move closer to the implementation deadline, that some districts may simply not have access to the capital costs that are going to be needed to add these additional spaces. And in those situations, a district may have to resort to modular classrooms, things of that nature. Certainly not ideal for kindergarten spaces to be in modular classrooms. So they may have to make decisions to displace older students into modular classrooms to keep the younger students in a traditional classroom space, because that's what's in the best interest of those kids. So those are some of the things that we're hoping to see in the final report of this task force, which is, I believe, supposed to be issued sometime by January of 2025.
Okay, so long time horizon on that one. Jill Springer, this can be a significant transition, right? Getting back to the actual sort of on-the-ground implementation of this for parents and their kids. What advice do you give in DeKalb to parents who are trying to get their kids ready for full-day kindergarten and everything that entails?
I think just reassuring them that we are concerned with the whole child. We certainly, as we move into play-based learning, are not letting go of our academic expectations, that we think that play is just going to enhance academics for our students. We follow the Common Core state standards and we hold those standards in high esteem. We make sure that our teachers are doing what they need to do to help our students become proficient with the standards, but play-based learning gives students an opportunity to learn in a more rigorous way naturally. It offers a variety of paths to the standards instead of one path that the teacher determines as the child is sitting at the table. And that's hard to wrap your head around if you haven't seen it, but you did ask me, and I think I neglected, what were some of the positive changes that we've seen since implementing play-based learning. And we have seen an uptick in empathy in our classrooms. And so our early adopters were reporting that sometimes students who struggle socially to be accepted, they were talking about very specific examples of a child trying to, make something in a construction center, which I keep mentioning, but, his classmates have rallied around him. There was an instance where a little boy who was not always well accepted was trying to build, and his classmates rallied around him, and they were all about how to help this one child. And so we're seeing those kinds of positive outcomes, and not just from one teacher, as I mentioned, the very specific example, but from many. So I think parents need to feel comforted by the fact that we're doing what's developmentally appropriate.
So we've talked a lot about this idea. I mean, we started with talking about the length of the school day. We've kind of moved into this idea of play-based and what kids are actually doing during this full day of schooling. So Dr. Amanda Quisenberry, I guess from your perspective, how do we move or maybe it's already moving, the broader public policy conversation. Right now, we've seen the General Assembly bringing its will to bear on the length of the school day for kindergarten. What about the curriculum? How do we make sure that more students are getting the benefits of this play-based learning?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that. I was so excited to hear Jill's conversation about what's happening in DeKalb, because I do think that as we focus more and more on how we can provide developmentally appropriate opportunities for young children, the first go-to isn't always play-based. And so I think that by hearing more and from more and more people like Jill and other districts, and as research continues to show that providing opportunities that are play-based for children, to provide those times for children to make choices and to develop more naturally, that aren't necessarily the sit and listen and, you know, worksheets and all of those things. As more and more people do that, as research shows that that's what benefits young children, hopefully educators, policymakers, administrators will continue to understand. There are lots of different curricula out there that support this as well. And so we certainly at Illinois State University prepare our future educators to use developmentally appropriate practices, to follow the children's lead, to have more child-centered activities. So I think that, you know, as we in teacher preparation programs help prepare teachers, that certainly helps move this along as well.
You know, this is maybe something of a sidebar from what we've been talking about, but maybe not. Maybe it relates. As parents are deciding whether to enroll their children in full-day kindergarten, as more will have that option in the years ahead, what do you think about this idea of redshirting, which sort of delays kindergarten for kids with birthdays that will fall earlier in the school year? So instead of being the youngest child in their class, they're among the oldest. And I guess I'll ask that to Dr. Quisenberry.
I mean, I can answer. I'm sure Jill probably has opinions as well on this. But I think that I really am a strong advocate for parent choice, too. And if a parent decides that that's what they feel is best for their child, then I think that they should be able to have that option. I know that, you know, some people feel that that's best for children's development. Typically, when children don't succeed in kindergarten, it's not because they're not strong enough academically. It's because they're maybe lacking a little bit in social skills or an emotional regulation. Excuse me. And so, I think that that's something that is a parent choice. I know that some people have very strong opinions about it, but I think it should be left up to the option of the family. Jill? I don't know, Jill, do you have other thoughts?
Go ahead, Jill, if you wanted to weigh in on that.
I agree with you, Dr. Quisenberry. I think that the social social maturity of the child is the biggest impact on success for the child. And so, yes, they may know their alphabet and their numbers, but if they're not socially ready, then that can lead to negative impacts, yes.
All right, just a few minutes left in our conversation. Emily Warnicke with the Illinois Association of School Administrators, what should school districts be doing to start preparing for this now, if they don't already have this in place?
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. I had mentioned that the report from the task force won't be out until January of 2025, but certainly waiting until that point to determine what a district needs to do moving forward would be entirely too late before a 27-28 deadline for implementation. So we have heard from many of our districts, they're already doing that. The very first thing they're doing is communicating with their communities about this law, about this change, and preparing them for the possibility of a referendum to request the money from the local taxing taxpayers to provide for the construction costs that may be necessary as a result. Many of them are already looking into options for modular classroom spaces if they have already maxed out on their debt capacity or believe that a referendum would fail in their community. Many of them are already doing that. The other thing that they're also preparing for is the requirement for an increase in teachers. Right now we are dealing with and have been dealing with a pretty significant teacher shortage, educator shortage in general, not just in this state, but across the country. And we've seen that trend for years now. And we have seen many, many efforts come out of the General Assembly, even at the federal level as well, to change the trajectory of that trend. However, we're not really quite seeing it yet. The Illinois State Board of Education puts an unfilled position survey out every year. This year, I think it said teaching positions were short 3,500 teaching positions for 2023. So this mandate is looking at adding a requirement for several hundred more teachers. That's also going to potentially be more paraprofessionals, more food service workers, more bus drivers. We're, you know, seeing a pretty significant shortage in bus driver availability, and this would increase the need for that as well, for transportation. So I know they're thinking about, how do I prepare for this influx and staffing need when I am already trying to find people to fill my current positions? So I would imagine that many of them are thinking about the existing positions that they have within their districts and trying to figure out how they may have to shift those positions and what their staffing looks like, because this is going to be a requirement here moving forward. And some of the positions that they have, maybe instructional coaches, interventionists, things like that, they may not be able to support that kind of staffing level anymore, because they're going to need teachers for these new classrooms that they're going to have to add. So those are some of the things that I know our members are preparing for as this deadline grows closer.
Emily Warnicke is Chief of Staff for the Illinois Association of School Administrators. We've also been speaking with Jill Springer, who is District Elementary Literacy Specialist for Community Unit School District 428 in DeKalb, and Dr. Amanda Quisenberry, a professor at Illinois State University in the School of Teaching and Learning. Thank you all so much for being with us today to talk about this on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
We would love to hear what you think about what we have been talking about, whether it's today's show or anything in the past. You can email us, talk@21stshow.org is the way to do that. talk@21stshow.org. And that's also, of course, our website, 21stshow.org, where you can find links to our past programs and our podcasts, or just seek us out on Spotify or Apple by searching for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Coming up on tomorrow's show, a new law requires parents who make money featuring their children in online videos to let their kids share in the profits. We'll talk with the 16-year-old who suggested the law and the state senator who helped make it happen. That's coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.